And so this morning, we are going to be in the book of 2 John. So if you all want to turn there. Now, I picked this passage because it's short, so it's good for one lesson. And I didn't know it really well before I started studying this. But it turns out the book of 2 John talks a lot about false teaching and heresy. And so that's what we're going to be talking tonight. I'm used to saying tonight because I usually teach at night with the youth, but this morning we're going to be talking a lot about lies and truth. And so I thought I'd start off this morning with a story. I love stories. I don't know about you. This is a true story about someone named Nick. Now, Nick was a very intelligent young man. He grew up in a middle-class family, you know, had a good childhood, and he had a wife, Allie, and a little tiny baby. And the thing that was different about Nick was that he and his wife loved adventure. And so they decided, believe it or not, that they were going to take their little toddler, actually maybe even an infant, and go hitchhiking across the world. I can't even imagine this. My wife and I are going to have our first any day now. And if I even thought about taking my little newborn baby and just going wandering around, even America, I think my wife would kill me. But Nick actually did this with his wife, and shockingly, it, for the most part, worked out. So he and his wife started traveling around, and eventually they found themselves in the little country of Costa Rica. Now, I don't know much about the country, but while he was there, he heard about something that was really intriguing to him. There was a little, way out in the middle of the forest or jungle, there was this little community. They called it a biological reserve. Basically what it was there's a group of people who lived way out in the middle of nowhere. They were completely self-sufficient, and they were really focused on taking care of the earth. They were focused on preserving the planet, and that was something that Nick was really interested in, too. You know, he had a little son, like I said, and, you know, he was really passionate about making sure we're preserving the environment. And this group also helped out the indigenous people of the area. You know, there were some scientists and like-minded people. So anyway, so Nick heard this story about these people, and it really intrigued him. So he decided he wanted to go out and take a look and see what it was like. And it took a long time, but he finally found someone who would give him a ride. And I want you to just kind of picture it. You know, I imagine, you know, he's in a Jeep, you know, going over bumpy roads. If you've ever been to where I grew up in the Navajo Reservation, you can probably picture it really well. Because every time you hit a bump, you know, you bounce off the seat and almost hit your head. And, you know, it's a really rugged, wild area. But eventually he got to the area, and he steps out. He opens the door and steps out and looks around. And he is just awestruck as he looks at the beautiful forest. The dark blue sky. He is just speechless. It is so beautiful and inspiring. And in the midst of this forest, there's this little community. And there's a bunch of little houses. You know, there's no electricity or running water. But everything looks really nice. And all the people are walking around, and they're smiling, and they're laughing, and they're happy. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but at that moment, Nick just realized that there's something special about this place. There's something different. And he didn't know exactly what it was. You know, but it's not paradise on earth. It doesn't exist. But Nick was wondering, you know, maybe this is the next best thing. You know, there's just something about this place that's amazing. And so he and his wife went up and they started talking to the people there. And they spoke mostly Spanish, but he was able to communicate. And when they found out that he was wandering around without any money with this little baby, they invited him to stay with them. You know, they said, look, we'll give you a house. We'll give you food. You can just work a little bit for us. And so they were really generous, and he was just blown away at how welcoming and nice these people were. And so Nick thought that this was perfect. This is exactly what I've been looking for, a place like this. And so he started working there, and he'd do a little bit of work during the day and have a lot of free time. During the night, they would have a little meeting and a little meditation time. And, you know, Nick thought that's kind of weird, you know, but it was pretty harmless. You know, he thought, you know, it's kind of like yoga or something. So, you know, he didn't think much about it. And he loved his time there. But as time went along, bit by bit, things started to get kind of weird. And, you know, the changes were small at first. You know, at first, every day, you know, they started giving him a little more jobs, you know, a little more stuff to do, and that's fine. You know, after all, you know, he's getting free food. But then also, you know, those meetings and that meditation, that started getting longer and longer. And then they gave him a tutor, you know, to learn Spanish. That's understandable, right? He needs to be able to speak with the rest of the people. But he started realizing all this tutor ever wanted to talk about was this religion that this group had. And that's all the tutor ever talked about, was just forcing this religion down his throat. You know, and so it was kind of weird, a little bit awkward. But, you know, Nick thought, well, you know, every group has oddities. You know, everyone has their kind of weird things. So he didn't think too much about it. And he said, you know, it's worth it. This place is so gorgeous. It's wonderful. It's worth putting up with kind of these weird people. And so he decided that he and his family were going to live here full time. And he asked the group, they were fine with it, but he just had to pay them a little bit of money. So he left his family there, his wife and his little baby son, and he went home to work for a few months just to make enough money. And when he came back, everything was different. Everything had completely changed. His wife was really cold to him. She's just distant. And even more worrisome, she demanded that the leader of this little community be called the master. And this is true, by the way. She would say, the master says this. The master says we need to do that. You know, and that's a warning sign right there. And from the moment he got back, they forced him and his whole family to get up every morning at 3:30 in the morning and realize they're getting to bed late at night because of work. So he had to wake up every morning at 3:30 and do meditation for hours. And so he's sleep deprived all the time. And they're not giving him much food. All they would give him is a little bit of vegetables. And if he ever asked for more, the master would accuse him of gluttony. And day after day after day, almost an hourly basis, the master is telling him what to believe, what to think, how to act. And because he's bombarded by this, he's starting to believe it. He's starting to accept it. But deep down, he realized there's something wrong here. There's something messed up about this situation. And finally, one day, he woke up and he realized, you know what? This is crazy. I've gotten caught up in this crazy cult. You know, they're controlling my life. They're depriving me of food. They're depriving me of sleep. That's, by the way, that's a very standard brainwashing technique. Because when you're weak, then you're very susceptible to influences. And so finally he decided, you know what, I got to get out of here. This is ridiculous. And so he comes up to the master and says, you know, I like being here. You know, no offense to you. You know, it's, you know, nothing wrong with your group. You know, it's me. It's the problem. But, you know, I just kind of need to leave. And the master said, great, no problem. Oh, but one thing. Yeah, your wife is staying here. And your son is staying here. You can leave, but they are not leaving. And I'm sure that was a big shock. From here on out, it's kind of a long story, not going to get into it, but just so you know, he did end up leaving, and eventually he had to get his home country government involved. He had to get the government to Costa Rica. It was a huge battle. Eventually he got his kid, but his wife never returned to him. But it was a horrible, horrible thing. And the reason I bring this up is because I think it's a really good reminder about how we can get sucked into lies. You know, Nick was a smart person. He wasn't a Christian, but he was a smart kid. But yet, at the beginning, everything looked great. You know, he didn't notice any warning signs. They were there, but he didn't notice. And he got sucked into it. And years later, his life, his family was damaged badly because of it. And as Christians, we need to be more careful. As Christians, we need to be paying attention. And we're going to be looking at that in 2 John. 2 John's going to talk about this. So before we jump in there, though, look at verse 7. So 2 John, verse 7. Let's just read it. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone into the world. So the problem during the disciples' time was that people were going around saying that Jesus did not come in the flesh. Now, if you've been here any time at all, you maybe heard Pastor Jim talk about Gnosticism. That's a kind of a big fancy word. But let me just break it down to you really simply. Here's what they would say. These false teachers would come up to these new Christians who didn't know a whole lot, and they would say, you know what? This world, society, has been corrupted by sin. And that's true. We can point to many Bible verses that say that. The world has been corrupted by sin. And so these new Christians would think, yeah, you know, I remember one day going to the Temple of Diana. It's one of the religions back then. You know, and in the name of their God, they would do all these horrible, filthy things, you know, and pretend that was holiness. You know, and so that would be really appealing. You know, they'd say, yeah, that makes sense. The world is corrupt. And then these teachers would say, but God is spirit. That's also mostly true. God is spirit. And so the spirit is good. The physical world is evil. And here's the important part. So because of that, when Jesus came down to earth, he just appeared to have a body. I don't know if any of you are science fiction-y type people, but if you've ever watched Star Trek, you know there's a... they have holograms, you know, where somehow using science they have a... They can make something appear to be real, you know, with like light, and it looks real, but you know, if you put your hand through it, you'd realize there's nothing there. Well, that's kind of what their picture of Jesus was. It, you know, there's a trick of light, and it looked like Jesus was real, but he didn't really have a body, because if he did, he would be corrupted by the world. That was the argument. Of course, we know that's not true. If Jesus didn't have a body, he couldn't die for us. And if he didn't die for us, we can't go to heaven. So that's a pretty big problem. But that was the attack. That was the deception. And it was something that really appealed to people. It made a lot of sense. Kind of like to this guy, Nick, at the beginning, what he was told really made sense. It really appealed to him. Anyway, so that's what the teaching was. So let's go back to 2 John verse 1. I'm just going to read through the verse, through all of the book. It's really short. That way so we can just kind of get an overview. So 2 John verse 1. The elder, to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also, all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be in us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, not that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Excuse me. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house and welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. I have much more to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings. I want to just start us off in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you would be with us today, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us, that you would touch our hearts, Lord, that you would help us understand, and most importantly, Lord, that you'd help us to actually apply what you have for us. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so verse 1, jumping right in, the elder. This is a letter, you probably know, and back in these days, well, letters we send today, on the envelope we have the address. So in the left-hand corner, we have our name and our address. In the center, we have the recipient and their address. Well, back in these days, they do the same thing, but it's actually in the letter itself. So it says, the elder, that's John, he's the one who sent it, to the chosen lady and her children. So this is the recipient of the letter. And there's two possibilities here. This is kind of an aside. But the chosen lady, that's either a prominent Christian in the area who has a bunch of children who are followers of God, or a little more likely, talking about a church. And John here is using kind of a code word. There's persecution going on in this time, and the word church is a feminine word. And so John wouldn't have wanted to, you know, name names and talk about people specifically, because if the government got a hold of this letter, they could persecute people. But so that's a little more likely, but we don't know for sure. But anyway, so to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but all who know the truth, because of the truth, which lives in us and will be with us forever. So in the address itself, in the first sentence, John manages to slam in three words of the word truth. So I think you can probably guess where he's going with this. He's going to be talking about truth versus the lie. Verse 3. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. So this is kind of a standard greeting. This is John's version of the standard greeting. It's kind of like, you know, in a letter we'll say, you know, it's good to see you, it's good to hear from you, that kind of a thing. Verse 4. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth. To me, this is kind of worrisome. You know, he's talking to either this lady or the church itself, and he's saying, some of your kids, some of these followers of God are walking in the truth. Not most, not even many, just some. And if you remember the verse we read already, you know, verse 7 talks about many deceivers. But yet when talking about Christians, he only says, well, some of you guys are still following God. This is really worrisome to me. This tells me that at least back then, these lies, they were really effective. People were being deceived. Many of them, maybe even most of them, were being influenced by the lies. Okay, so it has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. So the first thing he talks about is walking in the truth. Just remember that. So verse 4 talks about walking in the truth. Verse 5. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one you've had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. So verse 5 talks about love. So 4 is truth, 5 is love. Verse 6. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. So the last verse in that little set talks about obedience. So he talks about truth, love, and obedience. Now, when I first started studying this, this really drove me crazy. Because this whole book has one theme. And everything he talks about, even the address itself, is talking about that one theme. Then all of a sudden, he's off talking about love and obedience and stuff. And it just drove me crazy. Because that has nothing to do with the heresy. You know, Gnosticism does not say we should hate each other. No, they totally agree that we should love. Gnosticism has nothing to do with obedience. I mean, at least not directly. And so it's almost like, I don't know if any of you have ADD, or at least I'm sure you've talked to people, attention deficit disorder. It kind of drives me crazy sometimes, you know, because you'll be talking to someone with ADD, and they'll telling you, you know, they'll be telling you what they did today or yesterday. And they'll be talking, and all of a sudden, oh, hey, look, there's a butterfly, you know, right mid-sentence. Or, you know, oh, shoot, I need to go sweep over there. You know, it just drives me crazy because all of a sudden they're off topic and talking about something else. And when I was studying this, it almost seemed like that's what John was doing. You know, he's talking about heresy and truth. And then all of a sudden, he's randomly talking about love and obedience. And so it was really kind of annoying. But eventually, I think I figured it out. And kind of a pro tip here. The best way to interpret the Bible a lot of times is with other scripture. So, John, in the verse that we looked at, talked about obedience, love, and truth. And so I looked back in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. And 1 John chapter 2, he's talking about how do we know if we're a Christian or not? How do we know if the pastor or preacher or whoever is a Christian? How do we know? So 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, there it is, says this. We know that we have come to know him, so we know we're a Christian, if we obey his commands. Obedience. John talks about that in 2 John. Jump down to verse 9. Anyone who claims to be in the light, so again, anyone who claims to be a Christian but hates his brother is still in darkness. So this is talking about love. Love is a second mark of a real Christian. And verse 21. 1 John 2:21. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. So the third way, the third proof of salvation is that someone has the truth, especially about Jesus. So I think what John was, in 2 John, he was telling us those three things so that we can know who's true and who's not. So for example, if we're watching TV and, you know, we flip to the Christian channel and we see some preacher stand up, you know, on TV, you know, he's wearing this nice suit, you know, with great hair, you know, maybe has a Rolex on, and he's, you know, saying his message. You know, it sounds wonderful, you know, and everyone in the audience is yelling out, amen, you know, praise the Lord, you know, it sounds great and wonderful. Well, how do we know if what he's saying is right? How do we know if he's really from God? Well, what does John say? He says, are they walking in the truth? Is what he's saying true? Is it according to the Bible, especially in regards to Jesus? The text set two part. The other two parts are harder unless you know him personally, but obedience. Is he obeying God? Is he sneaking out afterwards and getting drunk? You know, is he showing the fruit of the Spirit in his life? And the last one is love. Is he loving people? And so that's, I think, why John kind of brings up those things. He's going to be talking about these deceivers that are everywhere. They're everywhere today, not just during John's day. And he's going to tell us that we need to be careful. We need to watch out. And so John reminds us of those things. And, of course, he's also encouraging the Christians to have more love as well. So, anyway, here's now where we get to the real heart of it. Verse 7. Many deceivers, many of them, who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. There's one last thing you need to know as far as the background of this book. You may remember that when Jesus was on the earth, he had a whole bunch of followers. He had the 12, but he also had many more than that. And he was trying to teach them of how to spread the good news. So he instructed them to do something that I'm sure was terrifying to a lot of the people. He would pick out two of his followers, you know, two people from the crowd, and say, okay, you two, you're going to go out into a surrounding village or town. So I'm going to send Barry and someone else to Denver. And here's your instructions. You're not going to take any money, none. You're not going to take a bunch of supplies, so you just wear your clothes that you have on now, and you're going to go. And you're going to start teaching, and as far as lodging goes, you're just going to stay at somebody's house. The first person who offers randomly, you're going to stay at their house for the whole time. And so I'm sure that was terrifying to people, but that was the example Jesus gave. You just stay at somebody's house. And people followed that example, and up to this time where this was written, that was still what people normally did. There were inns back in these days, but they're pretty rare, they're expensive, and they had really bad reputations. You can probably guess about some of the stuff that was going on there. So Christians instead, these traveling preachers and evangelists, would stay at somebody's house. So this was actually a big problem. 2 John and 3 John both talk about these issues that come up from this. So what John is warning is that some of these people, some of these traveling preachers and evangelists are wolves in sheep's clothing. They seem like they're true, truthful. They sound good. What they're saying is appealing, but it's lies. Verse 8. This verse is, as far as I'm concerned, the key verse of the entire passage, of the entire book, says this: watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may reward fully. Watch out. We'll talk about that verse quite a bit, but let's continue on. Verse 9. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. So these people who are going on to this new teaching, this new philosophy, they're not followers of Jesus because they've abandoned the truth. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. So that's the message of the lesson this morning. Don't pick up random people off the street who are spouting off religious nonsense and have them stay in your house. So how many in here has been tempted to do that this past week? You know, just pick up some random person off the road who's, you know, shouting at the end is coming or something, you know? I don't know about you, but I've never really been tempted to do that. That's not something that we normally have to face. There are preachers who are going around and teaching heresy. I don't know I should have looked this up before the lesson this morning, but there's something called the openness of God. And basically, it's this new Christian teaching that says God doesn't know the future. And so, basically, you know, if God lets something bad happen in your life, then you're tempted to get angry at God. Well, what this teaching says is God didn't know it was going to happen. God was just as surprised as you. So, yeah, obviously that's garbage. But so there is heresy going on in the world. But most of you probably even haven't even ever heard of it. So that's not something that we've really faced. At least I sure haven't. Yes, there's other religions and stuff like that. But I'm not going to talk about that because, at least personally, I haven't really been affected by that. But I'm going to instead talk about something that I think we all face. I think we all face a lot of lies. A lot of deception is being crammed down our throats, and we're maybe not even noticing. We're maybe not even paying any attention. My wife and I really like to watch a TV show called The Amazing Race. That actually, I really have fond memories of it. The first time I ever watched it was with her when I was starting to date her. And so I have really good memories. But The Amazing Race, for those of you who don't know, is probably the most tame television you can imagine. All it is, they pick a couple people. Well, they have groups of two. And these people travel around the world. And so they'll fly to one country, and when they get there, they have little tasks. Maybe you have to carry, you know, 20 super heavy barrels to one location, or it's some memory task or something like that. So my wife and I find it entertaining, but it's the most harmless thing you can imagine. You know, there's absolutely no cussing, absolutely no questionable content. So you would imagine if anything on TV is completely harmless, it would be this show. And yet, every single season, every single one that I'm aware of, always has a gay couple. Always. Without fail. Now, why is that? If they were randomly picking people, that wouldn't happen. Well, of course, that happens because the producers have an agenda. They're trying to force down our throats. This is a normal lifestyle. There's nothing wrong with this. And this is everywhere in our world. Well, thanks, Doug. Everywhere, there's messages that are trying to convince us things. You may be done this. I have an activity I like doing with youth because I'm, of course, a youth pastor. So every once in a while, I like to get some commercials. And sit the kids down, we'll all watch this commercial. And then afterwards, we'll analyze it and say, what's the message of this commercial? You probably have done this in school or something like that. And it's always kind of shocking to the teens or younger kids to realize, wow, these messages are crazy. You know, the beer commercial is saying if you drink a lot of beer, then you're going to be super popular with the ladies. You know, the car commercial is saying if we buy tons of cars, it's going to make us happy and fulfilled in our life. And, you know, all these things have this message, and it's always rather ridiculous, usually. And the thing is, we can never escape it. You know, John is warning about false teaching here. He's saying, be concerned, be worried about it. Or not worried necessarily, but be careful about it. Because there's many deceivers. And that's true now. You know, even if we said, okay, I'm never going to watch TV again. I'm never going to watch any movies. I'm never going to listen to the radio. I'm never going to do any of this stuff. As long as we still have to go to the grocery store, we're still going to drive by a bunch of billboards. We're still going to be standing in line at the checkout lane and have all these magazines, and they all have messages as well. You know, we can't get around it because it's everywhere. So we can't completely escape this. The world system has a message. Satan's in control of this world system, and he is trying to force this message down our throats. But what we can do is be careful. Look back at verse 8. 2 John verse 8. It says this. Watch out. Watch out. Be careful that you do not lose what you have worked for. Be careful that you don't lose what you've worked for. We have to be careful. And I think as Christians, sometimes we've gotten kind of careless, kind of lazy, and we're not being smart. You know, John is telling this church or this lady, don't take these false teachers in your home. He's telling her this because he knows that if we hear these lies enough times, we're going to believe it. Like, think back to the story with Nick. He was fed these crazy lies day after day after day. And at the beginning, you know, he knew it was kind of ridiculous. But when he was bombarded with this all the time, eventually he started questioning it. Eventually he started saying, well, maybe it is true. Maybe this is right. And that's the way brainwashing works. And the same thing is true for us. If we're constantly being exposed to these bad messages, we're going to start believing them. And I think a lot of people in churches around our country have started to be a little bit compromised because they're letting in all this stuff. John says, you know, don't take these people into your house. And we're not careful enough, I think, about what we're allowing into our house. I already mentioned my wife and I are soon having a child. And this is something that we're definitely going to have to think about at some point. You know, we have this new little baby that's going to be part of our family. And we're going to have to seriously think about, what are we going to allow in our house? You know, what TV are we going to allow if we watch it at all? You know, this is something we need to be smart about. Now, I could stand up here and say, you know, to all of you, thou shalt not watch TV ever. Thou shalt not ever watch movies. Thou shalt never listen to non-Christian radio. But that's not from the Bible. I can't say that. That's legalism. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is going to tell you. And what the Holy Spirit tells you to do may be slightly different than what the Holy Spirit tells someone else in this room. But what I can say is that we need to be careful. Many of you know Ephesians 6. Remember that? The armor of God. It's a very popular passage that we look at quite a bit. Excuse me. Well, one of the important things on that passage is this idea that we're in a battle. We're in a war. And every day, we need to make sure we have that armor on. Every day, we need to be ready and prepared because the devil is slinging those darts. Those fiery attacks. And the same thing is true in this passage. We're constantly being lied to, and we have to be careful about it. So what we need to do, what I'm encouraging you to do, and myself, is to sit down at some point and start thinking about, what are we doing? What are we allowing into our homes? And this is especially important for those of you who are parents. But it's true for everyone. What are you allowing your kids to watch? What are you allowing them to do? Because it does matter. If you watch TV and news, you know there's this big debate going on about violence in video games. And I think it may be a bit overstated, but I work with youth, and youth will always say, oh, that's so stupid. You know, I play, you know, Call of Duty and these other violent games, and I don't wake up and become a mass murderer. You know, and that's true. It's true. I work with a bunch of youth here. I don't think a single one of them is going to become a murderer if he plays a violent video game. However, we're lying to ourselves if we think that nothing affects us. If we watch a movie and we say, I can watch whatever I want, all the swearing or whatever, and it has no effect on me, we're lying. Because, verse 8, God's word says we need to watch out so that we don't lose what you have worked for. We need to be careful. Let's finish up the passage here. Verse 12. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings. I just want to remind you of how easy it is to get sucked into lies. You know, that's why I started off with the story about Nick. It was so easy for him. You know, there were a couple warning signs about where he was at, but everything seemed great and wonderful. And it's so easy for us as Christians to just slowly and quietly get sucked into the world. You know, and it's not something jarring where we wake up one day and, oh, I'm going to go get drunk. You know, that doesn't happen. Instead, we just slowly, you know, start watching some things we maybe shouldn't, listening to some things we shouldn't, and slowly, bit by bit, it starts affecting us. And we need to be careful. We need to be smart about how we act. And the opposite, by the way, is true. The bad messages affect us. We need to do the opposite. We need to bathe ourselves in this book. Because if daily, we talk about this a lot at this church, but we encourage everyone to read their Bible daily. And the reason for that is that's a way to have positive stuff in our life, to remember the truth. Because otherwise, we can kind of forget and get caught up in things we shouldn't. We're going to close in prayer, and then the band can come on up for our last song. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would work in our lives. Lord, we need your wisdom. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to tell each one of us what things in our lives that we need to get rid of, what things that we're allowing into our homes that we really shouldn't. And Lord, I just pray that you would do that, Lord. I can't do that for anyone else. In fact, I need you to help me. But I pray, Lord, that we would be Christians who are holy, that we're set apart, and we're Christians who are smart and who are watchful, who are staying away from these lies and not letting them affect our lives. Lord, I just pray that you would be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.